Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us on this Friday. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. You know him from EP Ringside, from his Substack, Shap Shots, which you can subscribe to. He's an author of two stars books, including the latest called We Win Here. Also a kind of a movie star in a new hockey movie, which you can check out on Amazon. He's also with D Magazine and writes for the Detroit News and all over the place. And he's our very own Spits and Suds NHL and insider, Sean Shapiro.
Gavin, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. I'm good. Okay. Soapbox to start. And please feel free to chime in whenever you'd like. So let me just start with a little background on myself, because it's kind of funny, like people say, like, oh, you're the guy from Spits and Suds. And I appreciate that. And that shows that the show's growing, that people know me from that. But actually, my job is brand manager of 105.3 The Fan, also 1080 KRLD. So when it comes to start times, I have a lot of experience in this because I have to juggle lineups. I have a lot to do. So I'm very familiar. So I give that caveat to let people know I understand why they are doing the start times when they are. It's for TV reasons. Vegas, for those that don't know, I know it may seem like it should be Mountain Standard Time, but Vegas is Pacific all year round. So you're doing it because that's the West Coast team. Now, let me get on my soapbox, because this is what's frustrating. I understand TV and I understand revenue. What frustrates me is you're the top seed in the West, you're the Central Division champions, and you have to make changes and you have to adjust according to this. It is not fair, and we all know that the puck drop will not be at 8:30 Central. We know it's going to be more like 8:45, 8:52 Central, which they have been when the Stars play the late game. It is not fair to the Dallas Stars fan base to expect them to be riled up and crazy and this is the playoffs when you're heading into the third period and it's 10:45, 11 p.m. That, to me, is not fair. And, oh, yeah, you're trying to build a fan base and get people excited regarding the Stars. If you want to play a late game and then go early game, I'm with you. If you want to, but even the Saturday game, Sean, even the Saturday game, we're talking a 9:30 Central puck drop on a Saturday. At least give us a day game on a Saturday. To me, it's tough to build excitement in this town when you're talking about 8:30 during the week, 9:30 on the weekends. I just feel like the excitement is quelled based on a TV contract.
Let me bring this in too, for you, Gavin. I get the TV side of things. I get that, right? Like, I understand you got to follow the money on everything. And I know throughout the past couple of days, people ask me, when will they play? When will they play? And that's kind of been my go-to answer from people, was like, well, you got to follow the money and see what's going to happen there. To me, there is a common sense factor to all this that somehow we've all missed. And it is not you and I, the NHL and scheduling and all of these things, is we only ever ask Western Conference teams to make concessions. And that is where my concern is on this. Where,
yes,
like let's take Monday, for example, right? If you're gonna ask the Stars because it's Stars or 8:30 drop, it's really gonna be like 8:48, right? Let's call it what it really is. It's like 8:48 or whatever it's going to be, right? Why can't Toronto, and so Toronto's the ESPN game before that, then Vegas, Dallas. Why can't Toronto start at 6 Eastern time? Like, is it really that much of a burden to ask the Maple Leafs and the Eastern team playing the first game of the doubleheader to play at 6?
Right.
And like that to me is the whole thing. Where okay, they can play at 6. Yes, it's a little bit later for Dallas. Dallas is now playing at probably at 7:38 local time or whatever, right? Like, to me, the fact we only ever ask these Western teams to make concessions, and I know someone would say, well, you got to let people get in the building. Like, it's a 6 o'clock playoff game in Boston, Gavin. You know this. You got Boston
Yeah.
ties. People are going to be out tailgating and
Oh,
getting ready at five
yeah.
at 4 o'clock that day. You don't need to
Yes.
worry. Like it's to me, it's this whole thing where hockey, one of the things that baseball has understood, and you would know this, Gavin. You obviously would be very well aware of this as somebody who works at a station that is a rights holder for a
Yep.
baseball team. Baseball has embraced and understood we can put our playoff games on during the day,
Yep.
and people will still go, people will still watch. And the NHL, I'm not even asking for games at 1 o'clock on Monday, but asking an Eastern team to play at 6 is not a big deal to me. Like that to me is asking moving Leafs Bruins to 6 and Islanders Hurricanes at 6:30. That allows like th that puts these other allows these Western game times to be in a spot where people can actually watch them and locally it's and God forbid, right? Like, I mean, the game will still start on time and everything like that, but like it's to me it is. It's the Western Conference concessions that I always like for the teams in Central Time that I don't ever understand it, right? Like if you want it to be like it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous that you can't make it work for Toronto or in Boston to play at 6 p.m. or on Wednesday when they play the when on whatever the day yeah Wednesday for game two when you're talking about like all right we're gonna have a you have a 9:31 you have a 9:31 where Boston like again why couldn't you have Boston and Toronto play at 6 like it is to me this is a spot where the league doesn't think forward. And this brings me to another thing, Gavin, if you'll allow me to
Oh,
soapbox because we've
you're
gone a
on
little
that
bit here.
soapbox, man. Let it
Yeah.
fly. I love it.
So one of the things, and I think I may have brought this up before, but it's always prevalent in my mind around this time of year. One of the things that I notice about hockey and the NHL, and you go to the leadership level. In the NBA, the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, he cares about basketball at large. The way Adam Silver speaks and handles things and his actions show he is a basketball fan first. He is someone who cares about the health of the overall sport. Why it's the reason the NBA doesn't go head to head with the Final Four. It's the reason that they care. They're a little bit more proactive in getting out of some of these bad TV deals. It's a reason they've looked into making other things work well. On the flip side, Gary Bettman's job as the NHL commissioner is to work for the 32 NHL owners. It's to make them as much money as possible. It is to protect them as much as possible. A golden example of that is obviously happening right now with how Alex Marullo, effectively being what he's done, I don't want to say something that'll get me in trouble, but effectively, basically how he handled the Coyote situation just is a perfect example of the lengths Gary Bettman will go to protect the owners. Gary Bettman cares about the NHL. He doesn't care about hockey at large and the way he acts, the way he speaks. This is just like a couple weeks ago, Gavin, or 2 weeks ago, when the Frozen Four, the NCAA title game, is at the exact same time going head to head with three ABC NHL games. Like if your commissioner of your sport cared about growing the sport at large and you work well with ESPN as a partner, you would have found a way to grow to make sure that the hockey fan would be able to watch both those games. And this is kind of this goes back to that, where this is a purely economic bow down to the TV contract deal, and there's no pushback. And this is one of those where a little common sense, a little bit more of a just, hey, care about the game, not just your NHL quote unquote dollars today. That's the other thing. Like, I think the NBA cares about dollars today and tomorrow. I think the NHL, it's always been about chasing the dollar right now and not thinking about how, like for example, like how many kids are actually going to be able to watch a playoff game? It's just
Barely any.
like, and on top of that, we're in a world too where for in the information age we live in, being able to watch sports live, I think, is even more important because it used to be easier, Gavin. You and I remember this. It used to be a lot easier to you could record the game and not pick up a newspaper, and you could watch it later and not know what was going to happen, right? In today's information overload, with everything we have on our phones all the time, it's hard sometimes even to watch a game on delay because you might make the mistake and check Twitter, or you might click on the wrong website that gives, like, in today's information overload, it's not like you can re for you to record the game and for your kid to watch it the next day without knowing what's going to happen. You got to give them a full media blackout too. Like, this is it is it cuts things off. And I mean, I agree, like, wholeheartedly on the, like, even the Saturday one, that's the one to me that was most, like, baffling, right? Where you go through, and once again, we never ask the Eastern Conference teams to make concessions. The fact that the games on Saturday start with a 2 o'clock game between the Islanders and the Hurricanes, like, why are they playing at 11? And don't give me the and like, not to you, but to the general, like, royal you, don't give me the crap that the Hurricanes and Islanders can't play at 11. Like you could, if you wanted to keep it, like, you could have done so much more. Or you know what? Or make the like, I it's 10:30 on a Saturday is absolutely ridiculous. Sorry, 9:30 on a Saturday is absolutely ridiculous. Like,
Well, absolutely. And this comes upon the news that the Stars are building a brand new Stars Center in the North Lake Roanoke area. So
which is great,
it's
which is
great.
great. That's
Absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to see so many Star Centers. I'll also throw this out, Sean. Let's just say the Stars make a deep run. Let's just say they go in the Stanley Cup. And then the ratings come out and people say, well, that's because the Dallas Stars are playing. You are not giving the nation an opportunity to see how exciting this team can be when you don't throw them on every once in a while with a prime game and or an earlier game. Because we're not even taking that into account. We're taking locally in Dallas, but you think someone in Boston, in New York, in Philly is going to stay up till 12:30, 1 a.m. to watch a first round of a playoff game? And not to mention, I'll also throw this out. This is the defending Stanley Cup champions. And I understand you have to placate to Vegas and the West Coast, but wouldn't be bad to flash them every once in a while either. It's almost like, oh, well, you know what? You're on the West Coast, so therefore you get this game. No, they won the cup last year. They should get some games earlier as well. And I come from firsthand experience, Sean. I lived in Vegas for 4.5 years. Vegas people do not mind early start times. They're used to it. They're used to the Pacific time zone. It is actually an enjoyable experience. I will tell you from NFL football watching, it was so nice to enjoy a game at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. so they don't mind. They're used to it, so it's okay.
Well, perfect example. Stanley Cup final game times are set to work that way. They're set into the TV window, right? The Stanley Cup, and I was in Vegas for the final last year, for every game in Vegas last year. And They have, I believe it was 5:30. Yeah, it was 5:30 local start in Vegas for the Cup final because of the TV window that the game slotted into. And guess what? It was sold out. The atmosphere was great.
Right.
Like it's gonna be to me, it is the start times are like, here's a hilarious thing, Gavin, right? So you and I were talking the other day about like doing post-game shows and everything like that. And I think I'm probably gonna try to make as many of our Spits and Suds post-game shows as possible. I have an 11 p.m. beer league game on Wednesday. I'll be able to play in my 11 p.m. beer league game on Wednesday and still watch the end of the Dallas Stars game after having played an entire beer league game that starts at 11 p.m. That's ridiculous.
Wouldn't it be great if I just randomly threw in beer league questions as well? Sean, when you made
No.
this save in the third period.
Let's get you the live barn link or whatever it is so you can dual screen
That's right. That's right.
it.
We'll do our own doubleheader. The first will be
Yeah.
Sean and his performance in the
Yeah.
beer league,
Yeah.
and then we'll go to the Dallas Stars. It's a
Yeah.
great combo.
Yeah.
Well, my friend,
Yeah.
I like to prep for this show. So last night I was doing my Kevin Fiala prep to tell Stars fans, like, hey, this is a guy you need to watch out for. And so I brought those notes in right now, and as you can hear, those notes are going to the corner. What the heck happened last night? This is absolute craziness. Anaheim, just, I don't even want to say like beats Vegas. It's like, did Vegas even show up? And Anaheim's a tricky team. They can be one of those teams that can catch you. They clearly have some talent with more talent on the way, but oh my goodness. I
Yeah, I
was
mean,
genuinely surprised, Sean.
the one thing I would slightly push back on with Vegas last night was I don't think I watched both those games last night, both the Chicago LA one and the Vegas Anaheim one. The one thing I would push back on is I think that Anaheim game last night, it was a bit more. I think at 5-on-5, Vegas wasn't too bad. I think there was some lack of energy, which is completely justified. And then I also think that I look at that game as kind of a special teams and shoddy goaltending by Vegas. And from a Stars perspective, and we're going to talk more about this series quite a bit. We're going to get deep into it here. We are. But from a Stars perspective, that game to me was also a bit of the one of the reasons that I would feel pretty good about the Stars going into this series with Vegas is seeing that goaltending last night by Aiden Hill against Anaheim of all teams was if you're giving those type of goals up against the Dallas Stars, this will be a quick and painful series for Vegas. So for
Yeah, they're
but
six and
that's but that's yeah but that's something that's important to I think bring it up. That's the one pushback I would be like, I don't think Vegas as a team played as poorly, but I think just special teams and goaltending were awful last night.
yeah.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.
So with a lot on the line, they're 6-4 in their last 10, meaning Vegas. And I guess my question is like, can it be one of those things where they just, turn it on and just say, okay, here we go. It's the postseason.
You can, but I actually made this case and story that's going to run in D Magazine at some point today. I made the case that I think you're going to have to play Vegas at some point. And from a Stars perspective, I look at Vegas like this machine you're going to have to dismantle at some point, whether it's now or the Western Conference final. And I'd rather dismantle Vegas right now while they're still building at the same time, because
Yeah.
I think I think they I don't think anyone else in the Pacific was going to take Vegas out. I think Dallas is really the only team equipped to take the Golden Knights out. And they're a great team on paper and everything like that, but we've never seen that team on the ice yet. Like, we haven't seen them with Hertl and Stone and Hanifin all in the lineup at the same time. We haven't seen them with all of this. And so it's as much as like Vegas comes in and they're going to be a challenge. No denying that at all, but I would rather get Vegas now than later because I don't think someone else is going to take them out. And you would have had an easier, and I think that's one of the luxuries that the Stars have right now is I think one of the great things is we go into this playoff run talking about what does it take to win the Stanley Cup. And every single thing is about winning those 16 games you need to win the Stanley Cup. And if four of those wins in my mind are going to have to come against Vegas, I'd rather have them come wins one through four than wins eight through, sorry, 9 through 12 when they're going to be humming. You might have some injuries, and that's when Vegas can take the biggest chunk out of you. I mean, it's I know other people are going to be, they wanted LA, they wanted the easier path and everything like that. I've more and more on the opposite of this, and I'm okay with the pushback and the argument because it could end your season. Getting Vegas now could end your season. But I think if the greater goal is to win that silver chalice on June 16th or whatever it is, take out the monster in the room right now because you are the other monster in the room. That's what Dallas is. Dallas is the other monster in the West. Anyone I talk to hockey scouts all the time. I talk to hockey people all the time. People are scared of Dallas. The Stars are a machine already. Take out the other one that everyone's worried about, and you just become even more of a steamroller. That's kind of how I look at it going into this first round for the Stars.
Yeah, by the way, Sean, it's 11:40 on the East Coast. I just because I was looking for goal differential for Vegas, they're plus 25. And they still have in the standings. They still have Vancouver playing 81 games, Edmonton 81 games, Vegas in the third spot still with 81 games, and they have the Kings as the second wild card. So they might want to refresh that.
Is that on the league website?
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
not good.
No, I know. That's what it's. Ah, man. It's just, I'm pulling it up again just to make sure that it wasn't a cookies thing or something like that.
I always pull it up through the super secretive, not nearly as cool as it sounds, NHL media site, and it's
Okay.
updated
Well,
on there. So,
that's good. Okay, so Sean and RJ, I fed them some stats to talk about, the upcoming series. And one of the things that they did highlight that I pushed is in the games against Vegas, against Dallas, no wins for Dallas, and a big goal differential in favor of Vegas. A, are those all thrown out the window? And stylistically, we did see a continuation, I felt, as far as putting pressure on the Stars defensemen like they did similar to the Western Conference Finals. Do you think Pete DeBoer makes any adjustments based on the regular season, or do you think it's one of those things where, as you just mentioned, we're a machine and we now have Chris Tanev. Let's see the difference as far as getting out of our zone and let's play our game.
All right, so let's a couple of key caveats here, right?
Yeah.
Stars lost in the shootout in the first one. It was the second game of the regular season, and Dallas was the better team in that game. I remember watching that game. Dallas was the better team. They just lost in a shootout. The second game in November was a 2-1 overtime loss. The Stars outshot Vegas 32-26, and they were a better team overall again. The December 9th loss was one where Vegas effectively clobbered Dallas 6-1 in that game, and Jake Ottinger was awful. Let's call it what it is. Those games are so far away, right? Like those games, like it's been like th those games are in the past. Those games are so long ago. And both these teams are different teams since then. So it's, I look at the If there's any Vegas games that Pete DeBoer is going to use to tweak or impact his style or whatever, it's going to be more so what happened last spring, not this regular season. And I'm a big believer that the Stars are a much better team right now than they were December 9th. I think Vegas is probably about as good as they were on December 9th. So for me, the regular season here does get tossed. And it's so long ago. I mean, it's one of those where the flaw, one of the fatal flaws the Stars had when they played Vegas on December 9th was their goaltender was awful and they couldn't protect the front of the net. The Stars went and fixed that. They got a lot better at that. They went and bring Chris Tanev in, did a ton. So to me, let's toss out the regular season here.
You wrote an article the other day on your Substack, and you talked to Stars GM Jim Neal, and you talked to him about Chris Tanev. Why don't you dive into that as far as the conversation you guys had, as well as Logan Stankoven?
Well, one of the things about the Tanev deal that Tanev has fit even better than anyone could have imagined, right? Like you talk about dream fittings and dream scenarios, and for Jim Neal, the Tanev deal was always what he really wanted to pursue. But he's clicked even more so. And then what it's really done, whether it's coincidence or causation, and I would argue it's more causation than coincidence, Miro Heiskanen's offensive game has just bolted since the trade deadline, basically. He's got like 18 points in 16 games or something like that, whatever the number is. And to me, bringing Tanev in and effectively both the emotional and pragmatic load that's been taken off of Heiskanen has allowed him to be even better. And I think Tanev deserves a ton of credit for that. Tanev deserves a ton of credit for Jake Ottinger's resurgence here. It is one of the deadline. It is one of the best fits of the deadline deals, which ties in well to the fact of talking about deadline type deals. It wasn't a trade, it was call up. I mean, Logan Stankoven has come in and has been another incredible piece to this Stars push in this overall depth. I mean, we're at the spot, Gavin, where like Stankoven had 6 goals in 24 games, so he didn't have enough games to really get to double digits. But because of how well he played and everything like that, we're at a spot where you, in theory, could have like a double-digit goal scorer scratched in game one of the playoffs in Craig Smith. That's highly possible. Like it is this. That's how deep this team is, and Tanev deserves a ton of credit for helping that, and Stankoven's ability to step in right away has been remarkable because I've seen this a lot before. I've seen guys step up from the AHL and then not adjust, and Stankoven has just shown kind of he's cut from a different cloth in that way, and he's been great. And it's ironic because like you know what today, Gavin? I don't know when it's officially going to come out, but at some point soon today, the AHL Rookie of the Year and MVP awards are going to come out soon, and Logan Stankoven is going to be the AHL Rookie of the Year, and Maverick Bork will be the AHL MVP.
Not bad.
I don't know that for exact certainty, but I know based off seeing all rookie and all pro teams, I can tell you that typically reflects voters' other choices as well. So that's going to happen. So
It's a beautiful thing, and that guy named Bixel's playing pretty good minutes in Sweden right now. So,
I'm going to use this as a quick tease, Gavin. I've been going through Bixel's film the past couple days, and
yes.
since we are going to all be waiting until Monday for Stars Hockey, I will probably drop a nice Bixel piece
Nice.
for the readers at Substack either Saturday or Sunday, depending on how life goes the next 4 or 5 hours here in the Shapiro household. So
No, absolutely. And actually, we spoke to Juraj Kralik, who's over in Slovakia, and he watches a lot of Bixel. And we were talking with him, formerly of Defending Big D, yesterday. So pretty cool stuff. So my thing is I know it's the postseason, so they won't get into it, but man, I really want to get Tanev on this team for future years. I think it's that much of an impact, even if that means I lose Duchesne. But my other question is you had mentioned Dadonov coming in and Craig Smith sitting. How do you feel about that? Because I kind of like that fourth line, how it's rolling right now. And I know Dadonov, when he played on the fourth line, he scored and he was pretty good, but it is tough to sit someone like Craig Smith. But I mean, I know they have options, and it's great if an injury happens that they have this kind of depth, but do you prefer Dadonov in the lineup over a Craig Smith?
For this series, I like Dadonov and over Smith in this series. I also am a big believer that you're going to go 13, 14 forwards deep to win the cup. I think everyone's going to play at some point. I think that's just the reality. But to me, I like the way Dadonov looked the other night too. For me, one of the ways you're going to beat Vegas is the fact that all four of your lines can score. Anyone can be the guy that gets that. And well, I think you might be sacrificing a slight bit defensively with Dadonov over Smith on that fourth line. I think there's a value in having Dadonov there as a little bit more of a creator there too. And I would like to see what it happens. If it doesn't work in game one, switch it up. I have no issue doing that, but for game one, that would be my play. And I think the Stars have established, and this is a group that understands, at the end of the day, this really is a sum of the parts thing. And we've talked before about Joe Pavelski, and really it goes a lot back to Joe Pavelski. I mean, I've heard stories and talked to people in the Stars organization where when Matt Duchene's name came up a couple of years back, the Stars would have never touched him. They would have never brought him in. They were worried about him. They were worried about him culturally and being an impact. We saw what happened with his departure in Colorado. We heard the stories about kind of his impact on the locker room. And then Ryan Suter, for example. Ryan Suter, it's well known he wasn't really well liked leaving Minnesota at the end. And he's got a bit of he's not the easiest person to get along with. And one of the reasons things have worked well this year with everyone buying in and Ryan Suter embracing a lesser role and everything is like that is because Joe Pavelski has been that person who makes everything work and makes everyone buy in. And that's why with however deep the Stars go this year in this whole era of Stars hockey, I hope that we always remember that, because that's one of those things when Joe Pavelski picked Dallas over Tampa Bay, it cost him two Stanley Cups, right? Mm-hmm. Like he could have been part of that Tampa team that won back-to-back cups. But he also was the voice and the piece that the Stars needed to move into a true contender era. And I'm just waxing poetically about Joe Pavelski, but I really believe that sentiment. So
listen, these guys are all pros too, but it is worth noting the following. As far as when Noah Hanifin was traded shortly after that, was immediately signed to a long-term deal by Vegas. Mm-hmm. Interested to see, and they're pros and they're Stanley Cup champions, but Alec Martinez is an unrestricted free agent after this year and very, very popular Vegas Golden Knight. Jonathan Marchessault has a $5 million cap hit this year, but he's up after this year. And I wonder, psychologically, are they saying, like, this could be it? I don't know if I'm going to be with Vegas next year because of cap constraints.
I mean, if you're Vegas, if you're a player in Vegas, you have to know. And this, I've written about this, and I should link. I'll dig this story up for people that I wrote for over at EP Rinkside, where in Vegas, there's the reality of life. You are treated great until you're gone.
Yeah.
But that rug could be pulled out anytime. And the Golden Knights are very Patriots-esque, just without the one guy who without the coach.
Great,
right?
Comparison.
Like it's,
yeah.
Like it's they're very Patriots-esque, but instead of having one coach, they've gone through, Gerard Gallant, they've gone through Pete DeBoer, Bruce Cassidy is the coach now. No one in Vegas is, other than ownership, and it appears to be the GM, Kelly McCrimmon, and the president of hockey operations, George McPhee, no one else is above the law. And so if you're a player in Vegas, I think you're there and you embrace it while you're there. And you know, at some point, and players have told me this, you know, at some point, you might be the one that gets the axe. But they do a very, to credit to Vegas on this, they do a very good job of keeping everything while guys are there. They're extremely happy. And even after they leave, I've talked to players who have been axed and left and everything like that. They would gladly go right back. So that is the kind of the reality of what Vegas has done. And it always could be your last game with Vegas. It's
Yeah.
just, it's how they're run as an organization. And you could argue the pros and cons of that either way. It's just the reality.
Yeah. And do you think the run continues next year with Pavelski?
I have this theory on Joe Pavelski. I have the belief that I think if the Stars win 16 more games this spring, Joe Pavelski. What's that? I just put that together. Joe Pavelski wears number 16. Wow. Okay.
Nice,
But
nice.
I think if the Stars win 16 games this spring, I think Joe Pavelski retires as a champion.
I like that.
I think that's the. I don't think it's something he'd say or speak a lot about out loud about. To me, he doesn't feel like the, like, we know next year is going to be the Marc-Andre Fleury retirement tour. I don't think Joe Pavelski is going to be the guy who tells us ahead of time before he retires. I think it's going to be, he's going to, at some point he'll decide he's done and he'll be done.
We'll
And
see him on the Celebrity Classic tours for golf.
exactly, and he'll go back and he'll and all of that. And so, Stars win 16 games. I think he retires just like our friend Craig Ludwig did as a Stanley Cup champion. So.
Absolutely. And by the way, we did a here's my plug. We did a podcast this week with Luds, and I asked him about psychologically going in, how do young players feel as far as Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston, and what they're feeling. Jason Robertson after his 2 years of playoffs and what he needs to do. And actually, Sean Ludd said he'd like to see Jason Robertson get in that dirty area and you know, be aggressive toward the net. And then we talked about the veterans, and the Craig mentioned the urgency, and he did it from a player's perspective as far as what he felt as a youngster, what he felt in the middle of his career trying to get that cup, and what he felt as far as a veteran with not much time left. So I thought it was a really interesting perspective. So go back and listen to that if you get a chance. My man, this is going to be an exciting run. Thank you for jumping on the soapbox with me. I appreciate
Course.
it. Enjoy this weekend's games, and we will chat, and you'll be hearing Sean at times, as well as David Castillo, Robert Tiffin. We have so much to go. This is going to be a fun run, and it's going to be a lot of late nights, but you know what? You guys deserve it, and we're going to give you some great podcasts. So thank you, my man. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun, Gavin. It always is.
Absolutely. And you can always follow Sean at Sean Shapiro. And once again, you can sign up for his Substack, and you can find that online at Chap Shots EP Ringside. He does so much for the hockey community. So please, let's support Sean and all of our Spits and Suds contributors. They make this thing happen. So for Gavin Spittle and Sean Shapiro, have a great day, everyone.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.